reading is from Proverbs chapter 8, verse 1, and then 22 to 31. Does not wisdom call, and does not understanding raise her voice? The Lord created me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of long ago. Ages ago, I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth, when there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. When he had not yet made earth and fields, or the world's first bits of soil. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep. When he made firm the skies above. When he established the fountains of the deep. When he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters might not transgress his command. When he marked out the foundations of the earth. Then I was beside him like a master worker, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world and delighting in the human race. This is the word of the Lord.
Please, would you stand as we sing, Lord, I come to you.
Lord, I come to you.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. John chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. This is the gospel of the Lord. Would you like to sit down? If you came to either our midnight service on Christmas Eve, or if you came here on Christmas Day morning, you would have already heard that reading from John. John's prologue, it's called. So because I've preached on that already in the last 6 weeks, I'm not going to preach on that this time. Instead, I'm going to go slightly off topic, but reference our reading from Proverbs, which is a little bit of a complex one. It talks all about wisdom, and wisdom being in the beginning. Some scholars of the Bible allude that this points to Jesus, and others don't. But you cannot have failed to notice that we get people of different ages coming through our doors every Sunday. So we're just going to have an interpretation, two different interpretations of the story. One from me, about the whole person being made in the image of God, and the same from Becky.
Okay, so what have I got here? Can I see? Play-Doh. Yes, Play-Doh. Anyone like a bit of Play-Doh?
Susie's scowling at me. She doesn't like Play-Doh. It gets in the carpet, doesn't it, Susie? Yeah, but is it Play-Doh? Because if I was to take this nice orange gooey bit of Play-Doh, which I can't get out, but if I was to, and I was to begin to mould it into something, would it still be Play-Doh, or would it be something different? Potentially, it would be something different, wouldn't it? So I just wonder whether, while Jay is talking to us about thinking about how God is moulding and shaping us, whether I've got any children, young people, who would like to make use of all these beautiful different colour Play-Dohs and make something, mould something absolutely amazing that can wow the adults at the end of the service. So if you'd like to get involved in that, I'm going to pop it on the table over there.
Thank you. I'm going to use this one today because it seems to pick up my voice a little bit better. I remember being a teenager, I would avoid standing near to my dad when he was meeting new people, because inevitably that new person would say to my dad, "Wow, your son looks just like you." And I do look a bit like my dad, if you ever have the, I will say, good fortune to meet him, because he's actually a really nice person. We've got similar features, and we've got slightly similar mannerisms. We're not identical, but I resemble him. So I was made after the likeness of my human father. And to a greater extent, God has gifted all of humanity
with the privilege of looking something like God. That grace common to every person makes each of us distinct and really special. We resemble God in ways that the rest of creation can't. And we see this first in the beginning of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, where God says, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Man will rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the livestock, the whole earth, and the creatures that crawl on the earth." So God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female. So all of humanity was made in the image of God. God planned that in the beginning, and then God carried out his plan by creating men and women. And we know that the word mankind refers collectively to God's use of the plural word they, as those who will rule over the created world. The world is given to us as humans to inhabit, to look after, but also to pass on to the generations that come after us. So care for the environment, good stewardship of the earth and its resources is something that always should be really key in our thinking. How do we use the things that God has given to us? Surely if we're shaped in the image of God, then we've got to be doing something very special with what God has entrusted us to look after. But God intends to create all of humanity in his image. And he begins that creation with a man and a woman, both made in God's likeness. And humanity was created for a purpose, to represent, to resemble, to relate to God, and to reflect God's glory. God created humanity to resemble God, displaying his attributes to the world. God, of course, has characteristics that are only unique to himself, but God has given humanity the ability to resemble him in certain aspects of God's character. We resemble God by displaying, always imperfectly, characteristics that make God absolutely perfect. But we represent God by exercising dominion or rulership over the earth. And the word image is often used in the Old Testament, in the Bible, to refer to a statue that stood in something's place. We might often call a picture an image of something else. We're not God, but in our limited capacity as bearers of God's image, we represent God in the task of managing the created world around us. But above all, God created us for the purpose of relationship. By creating people with the ability to relate both to God, but also to each other, we come first into fellowship with God, and then into fellowship with one another. God created man in his image to live in his presence and to worship him. But God then sent humanity out in the world to fill it, to multiply, to increase the world, becoming people, men and women, who would then worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, as that first hymn we sang this morning reflects. So by creating us to be like himself, God prepares us to worship him, but also to relate to the world around us. And finally, God created human beings after his likeness, to reflect his glory. So our function throughout all eternity is to reflect the glory of God, to show it to one another. Maybe you might have an image of a creator God looking into a mirror. The mirror is called humanity. And in that mirror, you see God's own glory shining there. Through us, through human beings, God can reflect his glory to all creation. So, in a sense, we are mirrors of God's glory, and that's the reason why we were created in the first place. But what's the image of God got to do with anything? Quite often we get tempted to ignore the image of God in humanity, both in ourselves but also in other people. How we often think when we look at other people can either myself or somebody else be reflecting God's glory. But every human being on the planet, good and bad, displays characteristics of God towards the world. We undermine God's likeness in our fellow human beings when we look upon somebody as being something insignificant. When we act or when we speak in ways that could be ignorant, looking at people's gender, looking at people's race, looking at people's upbringing. When we start to judge others, we are spoiling the image of God as the loving creator. And then we go on to devalue human beings around us, or we express contempt for those who add little to society. You couldn't have failed to take notice, perhaps on Friday, of the sentencing of those two teenagers for the murder up near Warrington of that transgender person. And one of the two was referring to the victim always as it, thereby devaluing that person as a human being. And therefore, the image of God becomes marred. But our conversations concerning the people around us should begin with the idea that the image of God is evident in every single person. So if we consider people who are poorer than ourselves as created in the image of God, we will then view them as being valuable and worthy of our time, our affection, and our generosity. But unfortunately, sin has got in the way to allow ourselves to reflect God's image. Yet, as I said earlier, we are called to bear that image or that likeness of God, to become like God through being sanctified. The book of James in the New Testament tells us that sin did not eradicate God's image in humanity. Instead, Jesus alone is the perfect image of the invisible God. So in light of the gospel of Jesus, through the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, we as believers are able to share in the glory of Jesus, looking more and more like him as we strive to grow together in holiness. So as Paul says to the Ephesians, we have to put on the new self, the self that is created in the likeness of God, in true righteousness and holiness. So remember that you were created to be an image bearer, a bearer of God's image, God's likeness. Remember that everybody around you was also created as an image bearer, carrying God's likeness. And when we fail to see God's image in those around us, we, of course, are going to miss God's glory on display throughout the world and its people. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.